I want to go back through this chapter and note with you more examples. We saw in verses 1 through 7 that if you want to fail in life and not serve God, verses 1 through 7, I've written in my Bible, ignore clear and direct statements about what God wants you to do. One of my heroes I talk about often is C.T. Studd. And C.T. Studd had a simple Bible study method. He had a Bible, and he had one of those pencils that was blue at one end and red at the other. You've probably seen those in the old days. They used to have these pencils colored blue and red. I remember I used to have an old teacher that always kept one in his pocket, and he'd pull it out, and the red was for correcting papers, and the blue was for putting the smileys on, you know, when you did well. And I remember that. Well, C.T. Studd had one of those kind of pencils, and he went through his entire Bible and would read it, and he would put down a blue check by everything that was a clear and direct response that God desired from us of obedience. And he would put a check by all those in his Bible. And then his devotional time was a prayerful looking at all those clear statements of God. And when he came to the point that he was willing to say, God, that's what I want to do and be, he put another check by it. And that confirmatory check, you know, he put the red check to see what God wanted and the blue check to say, yes, that's what I'm going to do. That's a very simple way of Bible study, but it's very, very servant-oriented. I want to serve. What you say, your wish, God, is my command. So if you don't want to serve God, and if you want to fail and waste your life, ignore clear and direct statements. Number two, we saw in verse 8, pick and choose what God clearly tells you to do so that you offer God selective and partial obedience. And that's what he does. And then in verse 9, hold on to the best and nicest parts of what God hates and wants you to destroy in your life and keep them to serve you. And that's what Romans 6 is all about. It's that selective saying, well, I'm going to not do any of the big sins, but there's a few little ones that I just kind of, they've become good friends in my life. And those are the things that are our undoing. Because that selective saying no to sin comes back because we underestimate the power of our enemy. And if you want to fail, hold on to the best and nicest parts of what God hates and has asked you to destroy and keep them for your own use. We ended this morning at the end of verse 9. Everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. Only give to God what you don't want anyway and what's worthless. That's a sure way to fail in life. Give them your worst time. Give them when you don't have any attention, when you're dead tired. Just give that to God. You know, when you're totally, you know, just at the end of yourself, give that time to God. Instead of your clearest time, instead of your best time, instead of your most focused time. And that's why so often it's hard to get something out of the Word. But look now at verse 12. I want to show you another one. Because it says in verse 12, another element of how we can fail to serve the Lord. And that fifth element is honor yourself before others and remind people of your accomplishments instead of honoring the Lord. When you get the platform, start getting in the limelight. Start talking about everything about yourself. That's what Saul did. Look what it says in verse 12. When Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told him. See, the other people knew what Saul was doing. They said, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. That's just such a sad verse. Saul was actually proud of what he did with Agag. And God was grieved. Saul thought he was great, and God saw through that and saw the disobedience. Jesus' harshest criticisms were for the proud religious leaders. A woman taken in adultery, Jesus said, I don't condemn you. A religious person that had stuffed shirts of pride for their accomplishments, Christ excoriated them. In fact, his most pointed denunciations are in the scriptures in Matthew 23. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, and he said, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not be doing according to their works, for they say and do not do. He said, watch out for them. They're hypocrites. Don't be like them. They brag about themselves, but they're nothing. They don't do that. And then he goes on and on. And Jesus' harshest criticisms were for those who honored themselves before others. There's a common denominator among the greatest people recorded in the Bible. When Daniel got hauled in before the king, and it was said to him that he wanted, the king wanted Daniel to tell him his dream, but he couldn't remember what his dream was. The others had said, there's no human being on earth that can do that. But Daniel could. But when Daniel got in front of the king, you know what he said? He said, it's not me, king. It's the Lord that's going to reveal this. You see, Daniel could have gone with the flow because he did have the God-given ability. And he could have claimed the credit for himself. No, God would have disciplined him for that and would not have blessed him. But he could have done that. You see, we do have choices whether we're going to use what God does in our life for our own benefit or for God's glory. And Saul honored himself before others. He reminded people of his accomplishments instead of honoring the Lord. If you want to fail in life, if you want to really waste your life for what God made you to do, honor yourself in front of others and remind people of your accomplishments instead of honoring the Lord. That's what he did. Look at verse 13. Here's another element that's so tragic in his life. Then Samuel went to Saul, and he said to him, Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Here's the next way to really be a failure. Be deceptive about the true condition of your spiritual life by making false claims about your dedication to the Lord. You know, that can happen in songs. Remember I said this morning, no perjury? Did you know we can sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. But yet in the back of our mind we say, no, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. Yet we give the appearance of total dedication. That's all we have here. All Saul's doing is just doing the party line. He said, blessed are you of the Lord, you're a great leader, Samuel, and I've done just what God wanted me to do. But a lot of our friends don't have Samuel's gift of knowing exactly what's going on in our life, and so it just goes right by. And no one but the Lord and ourselves know that there's deception going on. If you really want to fail, and you want to waste your life, just be deceptive about the true condition of your spiritual life by making false claims about your dedication to God. You know what would really help is having someone in your life that asks you hard questions that you honestly answer. That's really the step to spiritual growth. That's what the church is supposed to have. We are supposed to be iron that sharpens one another. We are supposed to be those who speak the truth in love to one another. I know some people think they have the gift of criticism. There's some people that can criticize everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about criticism. That's not a gift. That's a fault and a sin. I'm talking about those who speak the truth in love, that address spiritual deficiencies in our life with the Scripture and with love and with humility, considering themselves, as Galatians says, lest they also be fault, and will come alongside and say, watch out. You know, I can see it looks like a pattern in your life, and you know, the Scriptures say this, and in my own life, that's something that I'm very much aware and I don't want to happen. And I pray that you heed. And that's an admonition from the Lord. And Saul wouldn't take admonitions. He was deceptive. And if you want to fail, be deceptive about your true spiritual condition and make false claims about your dedication to the Lord. Look at verse 15. Just the first part. Here's another way to be sure that you're going to fail and not amount to anything for God. Blame others for your personal failures. Blame others. It says in verse 15 at the beginning, and Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. They did it. Who was king, by the way? Who was leading this? Who set up the monument? Who said that they had just followed the will of the Lord? Saul was responsible. But Saul blamed others for his own personal failures. And if you want to fail to be all that God wants you to be, and if you want to waste your life, just blame others for your own personal failures. Just hide behind that screen of blame. It's not my fault, it's their fault. Never confess. Just admit things. And blame someone else. And you'll be a real life wasted. The end of verse 15 has another one. He said that these people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. Now watch the end of verse 15 of 1 Samuel 15. To sacrifice to the Lord, and as I said this morning, the Western text picks this up so clearly, your God. It's Three times in this passage he says that. Three times Saul distances himself from God and looks at God in a second-hand way, kind of a detached mode of looking at God. If you want to fail to be all that God wants you to be and waste your life, experience God second-hand only through others and not first-hand and personally. Just experience God through books, through tapes, through television shows, through videos. Experience God through concerts. Experience God through singing and through music. Just don't experience Him personally for yourself. Always use someone else. Never be still and know Him personally. And you'll waste your life because you'll only experience God second hand. Now, I'm not saying that you can't worship God with music. I'm not saying that you aren't benefited. I have thousands of books that I consult constantly. But those are all secondary to the primary needing and knowing and experiencing and communing with God Himself in His Word. Saul experienced God secondhand. It wasn't my God. It wasn't my Lord. It was yours. And he held God at an arm's length. And he only experienced Him through others. And he didn't experience God firsthand. And he didn't know God personally. And he was a colossal failure. Look at verse 17. Here's another element that is just so vivid in the text. This is directly from the Lord, an analysis that God made. And it says in verse 17, "So Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?'" He's saying, don't you remember why all this began? Don't you remember why God picked you? You see, in the past, Saul was a great man. He was a great man. I mean, he not only had muscles and money and charisma, he was humble. He was a humble man. And even old wicked Ahab, in centuries later, one of the wickedest kings, God blessed him because he humbled himself. God will even bless wicked, horrible things, people, if they will just humble themselves repentantly. Well, you want to know how to really fail? Cultivate an exaggerated view of your own importance. Saul was big in his own eyes. And if you're big in your own eyes, then you start getting impatient, and you start getting rash, and you start getting pushy, and you start getting proud, and start doing all the stuff we're going to see comes out in his life as we go through this. So if you really want to fail, cultivate an exaggerated view of your own importance. Be big in your own eyes. God says that is a sure way to fail. Cultivate this proud view of yourself. Here's one last one before we go. Look at verse 18. Another way to fail, the tenth one, is do your own thing even when God's word tells you explicitly not to. That's what we call direct disobedience. Verse 18. "Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.'" And if you really want to fail, do your own thing, even when God tells you explicitly not to do that. If you really want to fail, directly disobey God. Because God says, "I'm not deceived. What you sow, you're going to reap. And if you sow the flesh and if you directly disobey me, you will from your flesh reap corruption." Now when we study the Amalekites, it's going to be an amazing little study in itself. But what I told you earlier, chapter 1 of 2 Samuel says that Saul was slain by the sword of an Amalekite. He reaped what he sowed right here. The Lord said, "Go," verse 18, "utterly destroy the Amalekites." If he would have done that, then God would not have rejected him, is the net lesson of this. God says, "I rejected you because you wouldn't obey me." Now, we're not going to talk about what ifs, conditionalism, you know, what if, we know what happened and we know God's plan. But Saul was given a choice and he didn't make it. Well, you want to really waste your life? Do your own thing even when God's word explicitly tells you not to. Cultivate an exaggerated view of your own importance. Experience God only secondhand through others and not firsthand and personally. Blame everyone else for your own failure. And be deceptive about the true condition of your spiritual life by making false claims about your dedication to God. And that's what Saul did. And Saul was a personal disgrace. The God who called him and gifted him, he chose the low way out. Saul was a family disgrace because those near us are harmed by our sins. He was a national disgrace. It caused the defeat of God's people. He was an international disgrace. Thousands of people that were coming down that main crossroads looked up and they went, "What's that? What's that headless corpse up there on the wall of that temple?" And they went, "Oh, that's the king of the people of the Lord, the great God of Israel. That's their king." And the people mocked. But most of all, he was a spiritual failure because God told him what to do, and he chose not to. And I hope that in our lives, that we will, as Paul said, choose to present ourselves as servants of the Lord.